Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
It has never been like this before. That's how many are describing the global financial mess in which we find ourselves these days. But even though half the population is suffering from a serious cash flow or job flow or bank account flow, it doesn't make it any easier when these problems hit close to home. Many listeners to this program are wondering right now how they are going to pay next month's bills or hold on to their homes or hold on to their marriages. Money may be the root of all evil, but like it or not, it's also the root of survival for most of us. Today's program isn't about savings accounts, wise shopping, or making sound financial investments. It's about surviving mentally when the money we depend on dries up. How can we look ourselves in the mirror when we're facing bankruptcy or being forced to move out of our houses? How do we go on when life doesn't add up? Here to help us with this dilemma is Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. Dr. Jennings, I can only speak for the male human species when I say that making a living is right up there with the need to breathe. How am I supposed to feel when I can't pay the bills?
Well, I think you would feel concerned about how to provide for the necessities of life. I think that's a normal response. What do you think?
It would seem to me that my self-esteem is tied into my ability to make a living. It seems to me, in my experience, and I'm sure the experience of many who are listening right now, that the paycheck really is a statement that says, you're worth something, Charles. You are valuable to your family. You're valuable to your community. And without that paycheck, I don't find a lot of value in me or my value to the community. And is that the right kind of wrong kind of thinking?
That's one of the difficulties of the American society and society in general, that we have lost focus on the realities of who we are in our identity as children of God and where our real value is found and where our real citizenship is. You know, the Bible says our citizenship is in heaven, but we have made earth too much the focus and the goals for our life. And what happens in society and frankly too many families is that we make physical performance, making grades, hitting home runs, getting blue ribbons, getting gold medals, making money, getting houses, cars. In other words, what we can do is the measure of our value and our worth. And therefore, when we find ourselves in a position where what we're doing isn't getting some monetary or earthly recognition or reward, then we feel as if we aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing. And that's only because we have the wrong set of glasses on. We're looking at the world through the wrong set of lenses, through the world standard of what's valuable. But do you remember when Christ looked at things, it was always what was valuable to the kingdom of love, what was valuable for uplifting another person, what was valuable for ministering to somebody else, what was valuable was what was spreading the good news to set hearts and minds free. And that is not something you can put a monetary value on.
When we talk about this subject, I am sure that there are many minds who immediately think, okay, I'm a Christian. This is not supposed to be happening to Christians because God provides. God does not let this happen to the Christian. There are Bible verse after Bible verse that says, you know, if you follow what I say, that ask and I'll give it to you. Don't worry about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. Look at the lilies of the field and the trees, and they're clothed and God takes care of them. So why am I hungry and why am I missing a payment when God is supposed to take care of me like he says in the Bible?
Well, that question is way too broad for all the circumstances of people out there. The reality is some people are in those circumstances through no fault of their own whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Other people are in those circumstances because of choices that they've made and choices that they could have avoided being in those circumstances. There are people that I see and know that are in the circumstances they don't have the money to pay their bills and their cars are getting repossessed and they're getting booted out of their home because they spent their money on cocaine every month. Okay, and they don't pay their bills. I mean, they find themselves in financial hardship because they go and gamble down at the casinos and gamble away their money. And there are people that find themselves in those circumstances. There's a reason that they're in those circumstances. There are other persons who, through no fault of their own that they could reasonably foresee, find themselves in difficult circumstances. Some people innocently and honestly went into a mortgage and didn't comprehend fully, and some nefarious person was taking advantage and put them into a mortgage they really couldn't afford, and then they lost their job because of downsizing, and now they can't pay their bills. I mean, no fault of their own primarily, but yet they find themselves in a circumstance where they can't pay their bills. So the question you asked, how should they feel? Why did God let this happen? Well, to the first circumstance, God let it happen because those consequences will hopefully bring you to some alertness. Hey, I need to quit gambling my money away. I need to quit using drugs. I need to start being responsible. To the second circumstance, why did it happen? Specifically or generally? Generally why it happened is because we live in a world in which freedom reigns because God is love, and God can't use his power to enforce everyone's behavior and have us still be free moral agents who can love. He can make us robots. He can make this a puppet world. But as soon as he does, then we're no longer individuals with freedom to think and to act, and we no longer have the capacity to love him or love others. And so sometimes these difficult things happen because right now we're in the middle of a war between the principles of love and the principles of self-centeredness, and those people who take and exploit others will cause pain to those to other people. I mean, this is the reality of the world we live in.
I've written down the word here that I think is the basis of what you just said, risk. When God allowed us to have the freedom that we have, he took a huge risk, right? Am I on the right track here?
Well, risk in the way humans look at the world, risk, I think you're right. I think since God has foreknowledge and knew exactly what was going to happen in the future, I hate to think that God was like, you know, throwing the dice and wondering what was going to happen. I don't think he risked. He understood. But it was, you know, so, you know, it's that's a whole different discussion. We talk about whether God, and from his perspective, was risking. I think he knew what it was going to cost him to go this direction, but love was so important, even though he knew the cost, he would still rather go this direction than to make simply a robot world where everybody is simply programmed by him to act in certain ways and there's no real love.
But he allowed it to happen, knowing what was going to happen. We, on the other hand, don't have the ability to have foreknowledge. We don't really have that power that he has. And so we live in a risky world. And when we live in a world where we have the choices, that we can make the choices, and we can take the chances, we can take the risks, some of those risks do not pan out. And so it seems to me, Dr. Jennings, that right now this world is paying the price of having the ability to have the freedom to do what we want to do, to make the decisions we want to make, and the risk is coming back to bite us. Is that right?
This world is demonstrating the two antagonistic principles that are war, love for other people and self-centeredness. And so what you're seeing is when selfishness rules, and what's happening in society in the world today is that greed is taking control and taking over. Men's hearts are waxing cold. Love is waxing cold, and people are self-centered, narcissistic, and interested in simply aggrandizing self. And if you look at the problems and step back and see what's happening to our economy, the problems in our economy have happened because of greed. That's why these problems have happened. And that is exactly a revelation of the methods that work opposite to God's methods, and they only bring pain, suffering, and death.
All right. Well, greed has brought us to where we are. We want to get better than where we are. We want to climb back out of this dark hole we find ourselves in. The next question is, how can God help us do that? What good is God when life doesn't add up? Stay tuned.
Here's your Daily Heartbeat with Dr. James Markham. Friend, we were originally designed to praise God. One of the best biblical treatments is a treatment of praise. Now, that praise might come in many forms. It might be singing a song. It might be out loud. It might be in your heart. It might be whistling. It might be humming. It might just be thankful for seeing the sunshine come up in the morning. Praise is a valuable treatment. We saw that David, when he felt down and out, one of the things he did was praise. This changed his chemistry for the good. It made him feel better. One of the biblical treatments I want us to focus on today is the treatment of praise to change our body's chemistry. Give a praise today.
Thank you, Dr. Markham. If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Nothing can make a parent's heart swell faster than their children growing through milestones of maturity. Hi, this is Jeremy Woodruff, and my daughter Bethany had been waiting rather impatiently to lose her first tooth. Her big brother and sister had lost quite a few, and even some of her friends had the telltale grin. She'd been feeling very left out until one day it happened. She even had to call me at work to tell me about it.
And it didn't even hurt, Daddy.
And by the time I got home and took a look for myself, my daddy's heart had swelled beyond measure. Now, this experience gives me just a little glimpse of how our Heavenly Father feels about our spiritual growth. His daddy's heart must grow infinitely bigger than mine as he celebrates milestones in our spiritual journey. If you'd like a Bible study tool to help facilitate further growth, why don't you call 800-775-4673 and ask for the free Discover Bible Lessons. Let's give heaven a new reason to rejoice. Call 800-775-4673 and ask for Discover.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. We're talking about how to survive when life doesn't add up, when you're facing financial downturns. And this is a hot topic today because a lot of us are doing that. We are suffering in many ways because of financial problems, house foreclosures, bank accounts are emptying out, jobs are being lost. And here we are, bruised and bleeding, suffering, sitting in our room wondering, where's God? He was supposed to be with me on this thing. He's supposed to partner with me on this thing. Where in the world is God when I need him most? Dr. Jennings, in answer to that question, what has happened? Have we left God? Has God left us? Or are we misreading God on this?
That's a great question. Many people struggle with this issue. God's focus, and you look at Christ when he was on earth, and the apostles, there were all types of human travesties going on earth, slavery, abuse, human rights violations, perversions of all kinds. Yet Christ and the apostles did not focus on changing and fixing earthly governments and trying to make this earth and the way that governments of this earth run better. Their focus was leading people to have a change of heart where they no longer operate their lives on the principles of this world, but have had a renewal of heart and mind where they are no longer, quote, citizens of earth, but citizens of heaven, living their life on the principles that God's universe runs on, which are the principles of love. So God's focus is not primarily about fixing this earth as it currently is and continuing the current governments and current methods and current principles. In fact, the Bible's very clear that all that stuff is we're not supposed to be part of. What he wants is to remove us from the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. So that when we focus on all of our earthly problems and earthly needs, it distracts us from what God is really trying to do, and that is actually free us from those concerns to live a heavenly life in the midst of earthly problems.
You're sounding like we all need to become monks and live someplace up on top of a mountain and look at the sunrise and contemplate our navels. What's going on here, Dr. Jennings?
You really felt like I was talking about disengaging from the world and not being in the world anymore. You really felt that? If I said that, then I really communicated really poorly here. What I'm talking about is an internal state of mind where we no longer have our hearts attached to the problems and the things of the world, but we can walk free because the problems of the world don't pull us down because we have an investment invested our sense of well-being in things that really don't matter. My sense of well-being isn't built on, well, how big my house is, how expensive my car is, how much money's in my portfolio, how much money's in my retirement plan. My sense of well-being is built on the reality of who I am as a child of God, walking through this world as his representative on earth, taking the good news about him to others, living his life. You know, no longer I that live, but yes, Christ lives in me. That's where my identity and sense of well-being is. Now, with that identity and sense of well-being, well, there are certain realities of life that we still need to deal with. We still need to eat. We still need to have a place to sleep. We still need to provide for our kids. But we're doing it from a different perspective. What is the goal in all these things? The goal in all these things is not to aggrandize self and make me feel safe and secure. The goal in all these things is to use those resources for what? For freeing other people who are currently trapped in a world in which they find their value only in worldly things.
Okay, I'm getting to see a picture here emerging that if anyone listening to this program, if I were to take what you just said to heart and live that way, then financial downturns have a very different impact on my life, have a very different stretch in my horizon. These problems that come along are simply that. They're just problems that come along. They're not earth-moving, earth-shaking, life-ending situations. There are people who are committing suicide today because of the financial problems they find themselves in. But you're saying that there is a larger picture that we need to be focusing on here, not just the fact that we're having a problem right now, but there's a much larger picture, there's a much larger time span that includes eternity when we think about ourselves and our place in this world. Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, the key word you said there is a larger perspective. There's no question about it. Step back and take the larger view. It's only when the devil wants us to narrow our view down to our current problem, where we find it right now, so that we feel darkened and overwhelmed. God wants us to step back and see the realities of eternity. And when you think about the realities of eternity, living forever in a new heaven and a new earth, the current circumstances are not the end-all be-all. What really matters is not whether we have financial difficulties that may lead us to bankruptcy. What really matters is, in the face of those financial difficulties, how do we live our lives? Do we live our lives with godly principles that we're going to remain ethical, moral, honest? We're not going to cheat. We're not going to lie. We're not going to exploit. We're not going to try to do things to make ends meet that would violate the principles of love and other-centered goodness. We're not going to exploit others. We're not going to start selling drugs to the neighbor kids to make enough money to make our mortgage. We're not going to cheat on our taxes. I mean, the real issue is not about the finances. All these types of stressors that come to us are really opportunities for our character development, for our ability to move away from living in fear and living in insecurity and living in a frightened state where we're acting to protect ourselves all the time, to move into a relationship with God where we can say, you know what, I'm going to do what's right, healthy, and reasonable, even if I can't see how it's going to work out, because that's the person of integrity I want to become and want to be by your grace. And so it's opportunity for us to stay honest, faithful, and loyal, even if we lose everything we supposedly currently own.
My, that is wonderful. 800-775-4673 is the phone number. If you'd like to be part of this conversation, if you would like to join in and ask a question to Dr. Jennings on this topic or any topic, as a matter of fact, we're here for you, listener. 800-775-4673.
But I want to interject something. We can only do that, what I just said, when we die to self, and self isn't what we're trying to promote. As long as we are trying to keep self alive, in other words, when we have actually died to self, and it's not my house, it's not me that matters, it's not my reputation, not what people think of me that counts. It's how am I representing Christ in the world that matters. And I couldn't remember when Joseph got sold into slavery. We talk about financial downturn. Here's the son that's the pride of his father and who's getting all these blessings in this family, and suddenly he's a slave in Egypt. But how did he conduct himself? He conducted himself with integrity, and through that integrity and the way he continued to live his life, God was able to bring blessings through him, not only to him and give him a family and bless the nation of Egypt, but ultimately bless the family that betrayed him. And so as we maintain our integrity, we keep ourselves in a position so through difficult times, God can shine light into a darkened world.
There is the answer. That is it. That's what I want our listener to hear today. Listener, and I want to hear this myself. If you are having financial problems, if you are struggling right now, this is the time to step up with integrity, with honesty. This is the time to become the person that God wants you to be, that you know you need to be. Okay? You know you need to be this person. Now is the time to do it. And then God can use that kind of person, that kind of mindset, to accomplish great things in the years to come. Don't look back. Look forward. Become the person. Excellent stuff. 800-775-4673. Also, I want to remind you, listener, if you have a question or comment for this program, or perhaps you have a subject that you would like to hear talked about on this program, please go to www.comeandreason.com. That's www.comeandreason, all one word, like they do on the internet now, comeandreason.com, and there's a place you can click to ask questions and send questions in for this program, and we will talk about them and answer them in future programs. 800-775-4673 is the phone number for right now. All right, I'm liking what I'm hearing, Dr. Jennings. You have given us the hope we need and the tools we need. It's not going to be easy. That's answers halfway my next question I wanted to
ask.
Wait,
I got one more thing to say.
Goodness. Go ahead.
Okay, and that is, what we just finished on, perspective matters. And that is, people need to remember when they're worried about losing their car, losing their boat, losing their house, all this kind of stuff. When you have the right perspective, you understand all that stuff you're holding on to is going to burn one day. Mm. Every bit of it's going to burn. Mm. You understand this whole world is going to be destroyed by fire. That's what's going to happen. And there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. All that stuff you can't. What the real issue, and this is what the devil wants to play on. He wants to make you think that what really matters is this material stuff. Bricks and mortar and stuff like this is what really is important. No, the stuff that's really important is your character, your integrity, your individuality, your identity, your soul. That's what's really important. And these difficult times are opportunities where we are tempted with fear and insecurity to act in ways that sear our conscience, damage our souls, witness to others bad things that lead them to do the same stuff, injure our families, injure our friends. This is what the devil plays on. So we have to keep the focus and clearly see the reality of what's happening around us for what it is. Don't be duped into thinking this is about property, about financial bank accounts. This is about character, integrity, soul. It's not about those things. It's not about
those are the things you take
things
to heaven. You take that integrity to heaven with you. You can't take your house. You can't take your car, but you can take your soul. You can take your this is great.
And you can take your friends if you witness the Lord to them and they come to know him themselves. You can take your friends and family, people. Ah. So the only thing of real value, if you look at the Lord's value system, are people. That's what's of value.
And if you look at the Lord's life, that's exactly how he lived it. He did not accumulate all of these things. He even said, I have no place to sleep. I have no place to lay my head. His value was placed in people and giving the message out. And that has got to be a real inspiration for someone who is facing those problems right now. You know, don't concern yourself with these. Be honest. Be good. Become the person that God wants you to be. And he can use you not only to help save yourself but and your family, but also your neighbors. And this is good stuff. Let's begin a discussion here. We have a break coming up in just about 45 seconds. I want to begin this subject. We have children who are being affected by this right now. We have kids who are saying, Mommy and Daddy, why are you crying? Why are you worrying? Why are you not sleeping at night? How do we begin, Dr. Jennings, to teach children how do we teach them to think about money? You've told us in adult terms how to do that, but how do you tell a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old or 9-year-old to value people and things more than money, when money seems to be what you need to buy anything of value in this world? We want to find out about that when we return. Again, our phone lines are open for your questions and comments, 800-775-4673. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear what you've learned along the way. Maybe you have faced some situations and you have found that God works in some pretty mysterious ways for you. May we hear about that, please? Give us a call and let us know, because we want to hear what you have to say. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
What country boasts a healthy diet that is helping people live longer? This is Dr. Elmar Sakala for Lifelines. The answer is Greece. But you don't have to move there to live longer. Simply adopt their traditional Mediterranean diet. A recent study focusing on the eating habits of 22,000 Grecian people between the ages of 20 and 80 showed that consuming copious amounts of vegetables, fruits, legumes, whole grains, and olive oil lowers the possibility of dying from heart disease or cancer. Even with the fat-rich olive oil included in their diet, people on the Greek island of Crete live longer than their European or North American friends.
Lifelines, a public service of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, provides practical answers to common questions. For more free health tips, call 877-LIFE-TIPS or visit vibrantlife.org.
With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, with fierce determination, with uncompromising resolve, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there to touch their spirit, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Until every brow is soothed, and every hand is held, until every battle's won, and every song is sung, until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at uso.org.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. Jennings, and we're talking about when life doesn't add up, facing financial downturns. And if you've listened for the last 30 minutes, you have a new way of looking at this, friend. You have a new way of looking at financial downturns, don't you? And I am so glad that Dr. Jennings is here to help us through this. Let's talk now about kids. We have children who are being affected by this problem. They're seeing their parents struggle under a financial burden. Now, I'm not talking about how they got here, okay? We're talking about from now on. They may have made bad choices. They may have done dumb things. But let's talk about from now on how those parents who are in the midst of this can help their children see how God works even when there is a financial downturn. So the question to you, Dr. Jennings, right now is, how do I teach children, how do I teach my kids to think about money? To them, it's like very important.
The most important thing that children look to learn lessons of life is the parents. So it's not what the parents say, it's what the parents do. So if the parents are stressed, if the parents are worried, if the parents are crying, if the parents are arguing, if the parents are always in turmoil over money, then they will instill in their kids this over preoccupation with money, that money is more important than it is. Conversely, if the parents deal with money in a way that we have these difficult times, but money is not where our security is found. Our security is found in the Lord. We don't know how he's going to provide, but we have confidence that he will, and they maintain a sense of peace, a sense of well-being, a sense of security. We might have to make changes, but you know what? Whatever changes come, it's because, you know, that some way there's going to be working together for good. Not all things are good, but the Bible says that all things the Lord will work together for good for those who love him. So even though this may not be good, we're going to watch to see where the Lord brings good out of this. And so we walk through that process together, and it's really a process of the parents demonstrating a sense of well-being and peace and trust in God through this difficult process. Now, one other thing about financial difficulties, sometimes this happens to people, sometimes, and remember the key word here, sometimes, so we shouldn't make this applicable to all situations, but sometimes This happens as a way of God trying to help people free themselves from insecurity and fear and trusting in worldly things that can't bring them healing. If you remember in the Old Testament, King David got in trouble for taking a census of Israel. Now, why would he get in trouble for that? It sounds like good management of resources to know how many, you know, horses and how many chariots and how many foot soldiers and all this you have so you can provide the right supplies to keep everything. It sounds like good logistical support. But he got in trouble because once he counted his soldiers, his archers, his foot soldiers, his chariots and horsemen and all this, he would be then tempted to have his safety and security based on the size of his army. I've got this great army. I'm safe and secure. This is why I'm, rather than his security and trust being based in God who put him there. We don't have armies and chariots and archers. We have stock portfolios and savings accounts and land assets and gold bullion and all these other things we invest in, and we are tempted to put our security and safety in the things of this world. And sometimes, as we're trying to move forward in faith, as we're asking, Holy Spirit, please circumcise my heart, cut away the things of this world, establish my heart in heaven, that sometimes difficulties will come financially as an opportunity for us to free our internal sense of safety, security, confidence from things of the world which can fade away and establish them on things in heaven which will never fade.
I am a fortunate man because when I was growing up, my father was the kind of man you are talking about. I remember when I was in church school, my sister was in church school, and my two brothers were in Christian academies or college, and money was very tight. I never knew it. All I knew was this. My dad would bring home a box of Thin Mints, and we would have half a Thin Mint for dessert for our meals. He and I would divide it. It was a game. It was something I did very fun. We couldn't afford a whole Thin Mint each. We could only afford half a Thin Mint for our dessert. And it became a time when I grew very close to my dad when we were having what I found out later was financial difficulties. I thought he was just being careful with money, but he was having a hard time paying the bills. But his love for me, his demonstration of love to me, never diminished, not one bit. And we became closer on those times. And I think that's probably what you're saying. Children see what their parents do. And my dad and my mom were the kind of people who demonstrated an enormous amount of love for me, even during those times. So, parent, if you are facing financial difficulties, if you have kids in the house, now is the time to just really, really get close to them and let them know where money is tight, but we can still have fun, we can still have love, we can still have a home, we can still have the security that comes from loving each other. I think it's a very, very important lesson for each and everyone to learn today. 800-7 Go ahead, Dr. Jennings.
Yes, I want to interrupt and say what you said there is very important, because what you noticed is what you described in your own childhood was that it didn't take money for healthy relationships to exist.
Right.
It didn't take money for character to develop. And I would point out that in America today, we've got a huge entitlement mentality. We think that happiness is found in how much possessions we have, how much money we can spend, how many toys we have, how many Xbox games we have. I mean, we think this is where happiness is found. But and sometimes, because we've invested in the wrong areas, God allows difficult times to come as an opportunity for us to really reevaluate life and find out where true happiness comes from. When we invest in things of the world that can be taken away in an instant with a storm, with a financial downturn, with a terrorist attack, when our security is based in those types of things, we have a chronic level of fear and insecurity. We worry about the stock market. We worry about the weather. We worry about what's going to happen in our portfolios. We constantly have this fear that will we have the security tomorrow that we currently have today? And so we live with an undercurrent of fear because we've invested in the wrong things. And so Paul tells us in Romans that we are to rejoice in our sufferings. Why should we rojoice in sufferings? Because sufferings produce perseverance, which develop character. And the real thing that we're here on this earth for right now is to develop a character like Christ. And that's worth more than all the gold in the world. And what did Jesus say? What does it matter if you gain the entire world
That's right.
but
That's
lose
right.
your soul? And that's the difference. Satan tricks us into chasing these trinkets of the world, thinking that somehow that's where we have value, that's where we have worth, that's where we have security, that's where we have safety. And there is nothing there that heals the heart or brings security or safety. And I remember in my own childhood, we were very poor. We grew up poor. I didn't have my first new set of clothing until I was 14 years of age. Every piece of clothing I had growing up was from Goodwill, because we were that poor. But I had parents who loved me. We had fun. We played games together. I was raised to understand and know God. We had principles. We had values. We wouldn't do things that would be unethical or illegal just to try to get ahead. And so, you don't have to have money to have a happy, healthy, loving family and to develop character, which is really of what's more important.
Mm-hmm. The most valuable possession that a man can have is a wife and kids. I think I'm hearing that message come through, and that's where the time and energy needs to be spent. 1-800-775-4673 is the phone number. If you have a question or comment, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to have you part of this program, get your wisdom mingled in here with Dr. Jennings, and we'd love to have you just talk to us. 800-775-4673. Let's move now, Dr. Jennings, to another area. And I heard a statistic the other day that the number one thing that drives marriages apart, that causes eventual divorces, and I was thinking, you know, infidelity, I was thinking sex, finances. Finances seem to be right up there at the top of what makes marriages fail. Make that connection for me. I have a marriage that's lasted 30 so years, and, you know, I have ups and downs with finances, but it never affected my marriage. What was I doing right, and what's everyone else doing wrong?
Well, I think it really, the money, and when finances are tight, only bring out what's in the heart. Okay. Mm-hmm. Remember, I don't know if we talked about this on a show in the recent past, but in the upper room, the night before his crucifixion, Jesus said all the disciples would scatter, and Peter said, oh, no, no, I would never leave you. I would give my life for you. Now, as far as Peter was concerned, he was not lying. He was not trying to mislead the Lord. He was telling the truth. Now, did Peter love Jesus? He did. He loved Jesus. But when it came to the point that he was going to be on the line and his life was on the line, what was revealed is that even though he loved Jesus, he still loved himself more. And it wasn't until the night of his denial that, and Jesus said, when you're converted, feed my sheep. It wasn't until the night of his denial of Jesus that he wept bitterly and finally died to self and came to love Jesus more than himself. Well, in marriages, there are many people who love their spouse. They love each other. They really do. And as long as time is good and there's enough for all to go around, everybody can have what they want, there's never a conflict. But when money starts getting short and you have to start making decisions, who gets what, and we still love self more than the other, now you see the problem. The other person threatens what we want. The other person's wanting to get their needs, and we're not getting ours. And so now there's conflict, there's arguing, there's fighting. You get to spend your money into this. I never get to do what I want to do, blah, 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 blah. Because self still loves self more than the spouse. But when we've died to self and we love God and others more, then we are rejoicing in being able to provide for the other, and the other's rejoicing in being able to provide for us. And you can avoid many of these conflicts. And we actually pull together. One of the things I point people to when they try to evaluate what the quality of their relationship is don't look at the problems. Every relationship has problems. It's inevitable on this earth you're going to have problems in your relationship. That does not define your relationship. What defines your relationship is when the problems happen, how do you all react? Do you pull together as a team? Do you encourage each other? Do you pray together? Do you support each other? Do you get tighter and work together? Or do you pull apart? Do you accuse each other? Do you attack each other? Do you avoid? Do you go to separate rooms? Do you not talk to each other? What happens in the relationship when problems come define the quality of the relationship, not the problems themselves.
So in times when finances are tight or even non-existent, that is a time, that's an opportunity. You've been talking about this. That's an opportunity for couples to just really pull together and start a whole new strengthening of their relationship. I'm on the right track here?
100% on the right track. That is absolutely right. And if some, and I know many couples will tell you some of the best memories and the closest times that they felt the closest were when they were living in that little one-room
yes.
apartment.
Yes.
And they were, you know, eating Chinese food once a week just to get by, okay? Something like that. And those are some of the best and closest, happiest memories they have. And now that they have the 10,000-square-foot home and they got the boat and the yacht and all this other stuff, they don't seem as close as they were when they were struggling together just to you know, make those ends meet.
Wow. I've been there, done that. For several years, my wife would give me a Christmas present of 4 tokens so I could go to the arcade and play Pac-Man. That was all she could afford and all I could afford, 4 tokens for Pac-Man. And we'd go together and we'd have Pac-Man Day and get an ice cream cone. That was our Christmas. Been there, done that. And you know what? Those were good times. 800-775-4673. When we return, we have Simon on the phone from California to talk to us. So we'll talk to Simon on our return. So don't go away.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs, but Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs, and now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
I was lucky growing up. I had a strong family and support system to tell me that I could be somebody, that I could do something important after high school. But as I got ready to graduate, I thought, what about other kids who don't have that kind of support? Hi, I'm Regina Grant. I'm 19 years old and a member of the Maha Nation. I decided to start a mentoring program for Native students. We help kids see that a college education is something they can achieve and be successful in. We also teach them about their Native heritage and where they come from. The young people who volunteer to be mentors in our program commit just 1 hour a week of their time. It's not much time, but it really makes a difference. Couldn't you find 1 hour a week to volunteer in something you believe in? So many people in every community need our help. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. I'm Charles Mills. We are talking about when life doesn't add up, facing financial downturns. And I don't know about you, but this is being a fantastic program, a lot to learn here about God and about our relationship with Him when things get tough. Our phone lines are open at 800-775-4673. Let's go out to California and talk to Simon. Simon has a comment for us. Simon, what's on your heart today?
Hi, Charles and Tim. I'm actually calling from California, but I'm just visiting from Australia, actually.
Uh-huh.
Listened to your show, obviously download the programs from Australia, and love the show. Thank you very much for everything. I guess I've got a bit of a comment and a question. Obviously, the money that we earn, we have some responsibility we have responsibility of what we do with it. I guess I wonder, Dr. Tim, if you could give some advice on when do we cross the line between using our money selfishly and using our money wisely for the future? I guess, you know, how do we, you know, look at, you know, investing our money? Do we there's so many different types of investments which, you know, tend to really be gambling. But do we use our money for investment? I guess also in relation to what you were saying earlier, I'd have to agree. It's a pretty universal thing. When it comes to, you know, having money and tend to being happier without it rather than having money. I mean, we've been through that ourselves as well. You know, we started off without any money, you know, when we first got married, and we slowly built up our income and we got a lot of money coming in, and the relationship suffered. Then I got sick and we basically had no money once again, and we were able to really pull together as a family. So that's a pretty universal situation.
First off, I want to thank you for calling, Simon, and tell you, love that accent, man. That is so great.
But he's saying, what accent?
Yeah, what accent? Yeah, no.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. That is great. Well, regarding the question, and now that I've said that, and I heard your comments about the pulling together during Financial Times, I wanted to recap the question. So could you recap the question for me?
I guess really what... where do we put our money in a way that is not being selfish, but is still being wise with our money?
Yeah, I think that as I look at that, and as maybe this is because I'm a psychiatrist, but I'm always looking more towards the heart motive than the specific action. In other words, what's the motive of the heart and when you take this action, rather than which specific place do you place your money? Is your heart motive because you're acting on fear and insecurity and you're wanting to protect yourself? Is your heart motive because you want to use your resources as a good steward of God, and your motives are to put the money in a position where you're not going to have to drain somebody else's resources to provide for you, that you're going to provide for your own self and your own family, and so you're trying to invest your resources to fulfill the responsibilities that God has given you to fulfill within this life? And so is it the motive of self-centeredness and fear and insecurity? Is it the motive of you really want to be a good steward of the resources you've given? You want to minister to others? You want to be in a position where you can provide for the family and that you have? So I'm looking more towards motives than the specific place you use the money.
Okay, well, once the motive is done, okay, so you know, you want to provide for your family, you want to, you know, further God's work, what then? I mean, just about every single investment you look at tends to really be a gamble. And I've got a lot of Christian friends that they're gambling with their money. And perhaps their motive is even correct. But then the question comes down, well, we do have some responsibility towards what methods we use based on, you know, the motives we have.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a lot of the stock markets are truly gambling. They really are. There's I guess ways, and there's also ways to manipulate that gamble that some people do, and enhance the likelihood that they're going to get a return on it. I am not a financial advisor. I'm not financial educated in those spheres of the world. So I really am not the best person to be asking about where should we invest our money. But I do recognize the points that you're making. I think that the best place that we should at least invest some of our resources, when Christ said, where your heart treasure is, there your heart will be also. And where are we spending our money is a good indicator of where our heart is. And if our monies are only being spent on some form of self-security, then that shows us that our heart is very self-centered. There can be a portion of the money there, but I would look to see how much money are we spending on ministry? How much money are we spending on spreading the gospel to help other people? How much money are we spending on charitable causes? And if we're not spending much money there, then we really don't have a heart that cares for many people other than ourselves. And I think that would be a place to measure where we're spending our money. Because we spend our money there, we're building ourselves up. As Christ said, we're investing in treasures in heaven.
Yep. Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Simon.
Great to talk to you one-on-one for once.
Oh, you too. You take care.
Yep, will do. Thank Bye-bye. You.
Bye-bye. You know, he brings up a rather important point for all our listeners. I'm sure that there are some wondering, he asked in the original question there, when do you know you've crossed the line between helping take care of yourself and your family and moved into that selfishness? And I think you've answered that in a roundabout way. You're saying it's a matter of priorities, where your money is, where your treasure is. If your investments are in things that advance the cause of God, advance the cause of a person, the education of someone, the good of someone, if a majority of your money is there, and then you take a small portion of it and put it at risk in these other things that are not illegal. It's these people who have put all of their money into that risk, into that stock market, into that real estate, who have put all of their funds into the risky area that are suffering today, not the ones who've invested in someone going to academy, not the risk of someone who's helping a ministry someplace. These people are not suffering as much as those who have put all of their money at risk in the worldly ways. Am I right?
You know, I think that you've hit on a really good point, and it is the issue of priority. Where's our heart? And when we have our heart for other people, it doesn't mean we still don't spend some money on the necessities and even some of the pleasures of life. There is no sin in taking a vacation. We need time down. We need time to recuperate. We need time to refresh. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when we only indulge self and we don't have any time or energy or resources to help other people. That's when we find difficulty.
Or when we take that vacation and we stay at in the suite at the very fancy places and at the most expensive places.
There's nothing wrong with that if that's what you've saved up for and you want to do. I don't think there's a problem with that necessarily, as long as it's in the balance in the overall scheme of things. I can think of somebody who maybe they've had this dream for 20 years and they've really hadn't taken many vacations, and they've saved, and this was their one big thing they've always wanted to do. I don't have a problem with people doing that because they've lived a frugal and loving life to other people, and this is something that they've really wanted to do with their spouse or something, a 50th year anniversary or whatever. So I don't have a problem with that. And God provides us with the resources he's given us, and I think it's appropriate for us to then use our good judgment with his wisdom and insight on how we spend those resources. But then we can always check back on ourselves, looking to see, where am I? Where are my priorities? What am I really most concerned with? And have I been sucked into the channel of this world where I only think and worry about my money and my assets and my business, and I don't even think about anything else anymore? Go ahead.
And if that fancy vacation is the driving force behind your life, if you give up other things to do that, then I see a problem with it.
Yeah.
How about you?
Before we get this show over today, I do want to mention something about this idea that sometimes creeps up with Christians and people that I've seen, that if you have a financial downturn, if you have a bankruptcy, if you have some problem like this, that somehow that means you're on the outs with God. That means that somehow God isn't blessing you. You've got some sin in your life you need to confess. And I've heard this from people that, you wouldn't have this problem. You must have some secret sin. You need to get out of your life. And that is absolutely untrue. And we can look straight to Scripture and look at the case of Job, who was an extremely wealthy man of his day, who was the Bill Gates of his day. And he lost all his wealth. He lost his kids. He lost his health. And all his friends showed up there and began to tell him, look, you've got some terrible sin in your life. You need to repent. You need to do something here. And the whole story is there to tell us, no, none of that came out from God. All those attacks came from the evil one on a man of God to try to discourage him. So sometimes godly people will find themselves in financial difficulty or health problems, and it is not coming out from God. It is the evil one trying to discourage us, and then supposedly good Christian friends may show up on the scene and say, hey, you need to confess your sins. We need to reject that type of thinking, and we need to go to the Lord and put our lives in his hands and trust that he will work out the things will work out in accordance with his will, and we trust him with the outcome of these things.
So I hear you saying that when life doesn't add up, that is the time to turn to the source of all life, Jesus Christ, and try to live within the parameters, the guidelines, the goals he has for us, not the goals that we as sinful human beings have set for ourselves. A wonderful message for our listeners today. Listener, I want to remind you that this show goes on at www.comeandreason.com. That's www.comeandreason.com. You can listen to past shows. You can give questions for future shows. You can enjoy many of the things that Dr. Jennings has said and written on that site. Also, some of the resources he has available to you. That's www.comeandreason.com. Well, a wonderful show today. I invite you back next week. We're going to talk about blended families, the mix that matters. That's next week on Simple Solutions. Until then, may God bless you as you apply the simple solutions he placed in your heart today. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings, and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.